Hello and welcome to the Watershed Investigations podcast, Tales from the Frontline of the Water Crisis. I'm Rachel Salvage and I'm here with Liana Hozier. In this episode, we're examining how close the UK is coming to serious drought and whether our water resources are being managed properly. It looks like last year's drought could be repeated this year and some areas are already subject to water rationing in the form of hosepipe bans.
To find out what's going on, we're talking to Baroness Brown, the chair of the Adaptation Climate Change Committee, which advises the government on climate policy. But first, Guy Singh Watson is the founder of Riverford Organic Farmers.
Last year, Riverford, we ran out of water, I think sometime at the end of mid-August. Didn't really rain until October, as I remember. And we did lose a lot of moisture-sensitive crops at the end of the season, so particularly salads. You know, in the southwest, it used to be pretty rare that you'd have summers where you had to irrigate substantially. But that's, you know, clearly becoming more common. I mean, you know, we also have wet summers, 12, 13 being two very wet summers. But the change, which I think most people are observing, is the longer periods of whatever sort of weather you're getting, whether it's hot, cold, wet or dry, the weather just gets sort of stuck, which is consistent with predictions of meteorologists to do with the progression of the jet stream and it moving in larger waves, which moves more slowly, which is a result of the poles warming relative to the tropics and there being less of a climate gradient. It's all consistent with climate change and what everyone would expect. So yes, you know, drought is definitely something that we're going to have to deal with more, and we have to invest in irrigation to cope with it.
The drought of 2022, I mean, how bad was that compared with previous years? I mean, I know there are variations, but...
Yeah, 2022 was the worst drought we'd have since 1976, which was appalling. I mean, you know, I was 16 then, but I can still remember it. Who knows what this year will be like? But as I say, the prediction is that we're going to get more of this sort of weather. The days of there being a depression that drifted in off the Atlantic once a week would give you half an inch of rain or an inch of rain. And then there'd be a few periods of longer, but that's not just not the case. I mean, the weather pattern we're seeing at the moment is quite extraordinary. We've had easterly winds. You know, that was a freak in my childhood, you know, and to have it happening for a month, you know, things are definitely changing.
And you have suppliers all over the country. Does that help or are they all suffering from...
Yeah, it does a little bit, though, as a matter of fact, all of the UK is pretty much suffering the same at the moment. I also have a farm in France where it has been very, very dry. I mean, fortunately, we have invested a lot more in water storage there and are in a pretty good position. But, you know, if you go further south into southwestern France, it didn't even rain much during the winter. So, yeah.
Could we be managing our water better in the UK?
In the west of England, the obvious answer is to store more water from our very wet winters. It costs about £2 a cubic metre to build a reservoir and store water. The government should be encouraging us to do. I mean... And quite the reverse. I mean, to get a license to build a reservoir now, we are actually trying to get one at Riverford. And it's just a nightmare, you know, climbing through the hoops. And the Environment Agency should be there to protect the environment, has just become a tax-raising body, you know, so it'll charge you for just anything that it possibly can in order to fund itself. Because it's funding withdrawn by the government. You know, it's just incredibly short-sighted to my mind. So it will cost as much to get the paperwork as it will cost to build it.
So the Environment Agency is scared that potentially farmers might be trying to sneak out more water out of the rivers during the summertime, and that's going to have impact on other users?
There is that, though absolutely absurdly. We have a licence to abstract from a stream, which my father took out in the 1960s. We can drain that stream dry legally. You know, so why don't they just have a conversation with says, OK, why don't you give up that licence and we'll allow you to build as big a reservoir as you like, or we'll even fund it. That would be an intelligent conversation, wouldn't it? But, you know, you can't have that sort of conversation. So we can't build a reservoir. So we will probably end up pumping out that stream, even though no one wants to. I mean, I feel embarrassed to be drying it up. But when your crops are dying in the fields, you know, that's what you'll do.
So Devon is still in drought, isn't it, as a hangover from last year, and Cornwall and parts of East Anglia, is that right?
I believe it is. When we say it's in drought, I assume you mean water companies have special dispensation to impose hosepipe bans and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the water companies haven't built a single reservoir since privatisation came in. You know, I mean, it's just extraordinary. Pennon Group, who owns our local water, South West Water, you know, sold off a tremendous, you know, had an asset windfall, and they just paid it all out in dividends instead of actually investing it in the infrastructure and so on. And now they want to charge us all more in our water rates for that investment, which they previously paid out. I mean, they are, it even says on their website, their dividend policy. Now, I thought dividends were something that you paid out of profits if you'd done well. You know, that's what I thought, that's how capitalism worked. But actually, on their website, it says their policy is to increase dividends at 2% above consumer price index, i.e. they are index linking their profits, and then adding 2% on. And they've got the gall to publish it on their website. It's just jaw-dropping. And then they're expecting us to pay for the investment that they haven't made, you know, in the infrastructure around sewage and water storage. I mean, it's jaw-dropping.
So if we had Therese Coffey in the room, if she just popped up, or somebody from DEFRA and the Treasury, what would be your message to them?
If we're just talking about farmers and how we manage water, yeah, farmers should be encouraged to store their own water, to build reservoirs. Certainly the administrative hurdles to do that should be made easier. And you know, ideally, we would have some sort of subsidy towards the cost of building those reservoirs. You know, maybe their condition would be that you have to get an environmental plan drawn up and you make sure that it is actually contributing environmental benefit as well as just providing water. Because I think if we look further forwards, well, there isn't subterranean water in the west of England. We don't really have the right rock formations. But in the east of England, where there's a lot of limestone, we've already exhausted those aquifers. There's nothing more to pump out of them. So, you know, we're going to have to store water, and I'd say particularly in the west of England, yeah.
Thank you, Guy Singh Watson, for joining us in what are clearly very frustrating times. Now, we're going to hear from Baroness Brown, who advises the government on climate adaptation.
Baroness Brown, and welcome to the Watershed podcast. You're a crossbench member of the House of Lords and chair of the Climate Change Adaptation Committee. So we've been speaking to the farmer and founder of Riverford Vegetable Boxes, and that's Guy Singh Watson. He's really angry about not being able to access enough water during drought, like the one we had last year and the one that we're heading towards this year. And some areas of South England are already in drought and there's water restrictions in place. Do you think the government, its regulators and the water companies have done enough to ensure that there will be enough water for everyone should this year turn out to be as dry or even drier than last?
No, I think we have a history of underinvestment and underpreparation for the impacts of climate change in the UK. You know, we are seeing in Europe temperatures rising at about twice the global average. We're expecting to see hotter and drier summers and warmer and wetter winters. And yet we've not been putting the preparations in place. We haven't had new developments of reservoirs for many years, although there are now a number in planning. We haven't had action on linking water supplies from wetter parts of the countries to drier parts like the southeast, so that we can move water around more easily. In the last 10 years, we've seen very little progress on leakage reduction, despite the fact that there are now targets set in law in the Environment Act. And we aren't seeing a reduction in household water consumption. That's been consistent at about 144, 145 litres per person per day now for about the last 10 years. We've wasted the last 10 years or so, really, in terms of making proper preparations for the way the climate is changing.
So how did we get to this point then? Because obviously the water companies submit their plans to Ofwat to say we want to spend X amount on infrastructure, and Ofwat signs off their business plans. So is it a joint responsibility that they haven't been prepared, and then there's that then fall to government to not be instructing these companies? We're often told to be grateful because they have invested over time, but they have invested more over time, but then more is not the same as investing enough, which clearly it appears they haven't.
Clearly, there's not been enough investment, and Ofwat has not been strong enough. And I don't think people have really taken on board the speed at which the climate is changing. So we are seeing more extreme events coming more frequently. But actually, we're not even prepared for the less extreme events. So yes, I think it's a shared responsibility. I think Ofwat should have been much more assertive. And I don't think we've had that balance right between the focus on being an economic regulator and actually the need to make sure that the industry is really responding to the changing climate.
And we've been looking at water companies, water resource management plans. And as you mentioned, in the short term, there's not a lot coming down the line. It is in the plans that if there was a severe drought, they're going to have to lean quite heavily on rivers and groundwater and stuff. But if there's a severe drought, there's not going to be a great deal of water in the rivers or the groundwater.
And of course, the more you lean on the rivers and the groundwater, the more we're taking water away from nature. Nature can't survive without water either. It's not that the water in the rivers and the groundwater is there for us. It has to provide for nature as well. And we are one of the countries which has become one of the most nature depleted countries in the world. So if we take all that water from the groundwater in our rivers, we will be depleting nature even faster.
We've got NGOs like Wildfish saying there's going to be an ecological catastrophe. And we've had Environment Agency insiders talking to us saying we've come really close a number of times to disaster. You know, the general public doesn't really know how close we've come. And they expect to see something pretty bad happen in the next few years if these droughts continue.
On the climate change mitigation side, we have plenty of targets and some of them very ambitious, but a lack of action. On the adaptation side, we really are the Cinderella of climate change. We don't even have targets and we have very little action. I mean, actually, the water industry is one of the better areas because at least it does have some plans in place. But they're not yet having an impact. Indeed, they're not yet being implemented at the kind of speed that we need to see them at. So when you think that the water industry is one of the better areas of progress in the UK, it tells you that we are woefully unprepared for the changing climate. And as I say, we've had 10 years of pretty much inaction from government.
So what do we need to do, though, to ensure water keeps coming out of our taps?
Well, there are a lot of things that we need to do and a lot of things we can do. First of all, we need to reduce water demand. Now, something like 50% of the water that we abstract from rivers and groundwaters is for the public water supply. And we have a really very high water usage in terms of per person per litre per day. So about 145 litres per person per day. And we need to get that down. The government is looking at taking them down to 105 and 100 litres in water-stressed areas. So in where I am in East Anglia, which is a highly water-stressed area, we need to move forward doing that quickly. The government has agreed that there will be a scheme for labelling for appliances, so for dishwashers and washing machines, but also for taps and showers and things. We need to move forward and implement that. Like they have done with electricity, we've seen a dramatic reduction in electricity use in homes because of appliance labelling. We need to get the same for water. We could look at things like water restrictors, so flow restrictors to reduce the amount of water people are using. We, of course, need to be reducing leakage. Some of the estimates suggest that by 2050, we'll be short of about 4 billion litres of water per day. Current leakage is about 3 billion litres. But unfortunately, in the last 10 years, we've seen relatively modest progress in leakage reduction. So far, we've seen a decrease of 11%. Says they're not even on track to meet the new targets in the Environment Act and the target that the industry has set itself for 2050. So, yes, we do really need to see a scale up of implementation. It's no good just having positive statements. You've got to deliver them. But I think also we should be taking advantage of the fact the change in the climate we're going to see is hotter and drier summers and warmer and wetter winters. And overall, more rain will fall in the UK. So that's why reservoirs become so important. We've got to catch it when it comes. I think we need to be seeing much more support for on-farm water storage so farmers can be collecting that winter rainfall and have it available to support watering their crops.
Very heavy water-using industries like beverage companies or paper industry, whatever it might be, whether they're also being looked at and to see whether they're using water as efficiently as they might be.
We need to have industry and others also looking to see how they are improving efficiency, and they need targets as well. But as I say, the the 50% of what we abstract goes to the public water system. So that's our homes, and about a third goes to the energy industry, which shows you how important it is that we maintain our water supply if we're going to maintain our electricity supply. Agriculture is a big user, and the rest, and industry. So industry should be being challenged with the similar targets to the ones that are being set for reducing water consumption in our homes. We may be that we need to be helping farmers to think about growing different things, not just assuming that we can go on providing more and more water to enable the same crops to be grown in the same places. And of course, you know, lots of farmers are thinking about those things and have been responding by choosing to plant different things to the weather conditions that they're seeing.
Do you think the Environment Agency and the government, they do have a proper handle on how much water is being used? Obviously, it's much easier for sort of big industry like water companies to be able to know that because they're being monitored. Across farming, I think some Environment Agency insiders were told us that they don't think that the Environment Agency actually knows how much is being taken out because the system for sort of inspecting and monitoring is so weak. I mean, a lot of these boreholes aren't monitored at all. If the farmer does get a visit to, so they've been asked how much they've used, it'll be sort of in a logbook written down somewhere, or maybe it isn't. Could the problem be potentially worse because we don't really know the totality?
Right across this area, one of the things we've been saying to the government is that we lack appropriate data and metrics. And I suspect that the reductions in staffing that have happened at the Environment Agency over the years may well have contributed to problems like that.
I don't know if you saw earlier this year in the rural town of Saint-Soline in France, you had 25,000 protesters, gathered to try and prevent this construction of reservoirs for farmers. The reservoirs, obviously, designed to help the farmers, face with these frequent droughts brought by climate change to allow them to pump the underground water tables in the winter and store them in the summer months. But, a lot of all these activists were saying, you're stealing our water resources from the public. And there were huge clashes, thousands of police and helicopters were sent, there was tear gas. I mean, do you think these are some of the kinds of struggles that we're going to start to see?
I think it's sad if we're seeing those struggles over the building of reservoirs, because we do know that the winters are going to be wetter. So, it's absolutely appropriate that we should be storing the water when it's available. So I think used appropriately, reservoirs are very, very important. But of course, there will be issues about where they are built. Issues, as you say, about if when water levels are low, that water is being pumped out of rivers and aquifers. That will be a problem. But I think that's partly for me a PR problem, that hasn't been enough communication with people to understand that reservoirs could be a very positive benefit.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about conservation and what can be done to mitigate some of the worst effects of climate change, whether that be flooding or drought in the UK, and what's the role of restoration of wetlands and peatlands and so forth?
Wetlands around our coast are hugely important and are a good way of helping to mitigate coastal flooding. It's one of those sort of win-win areas where we can be doing something for nature and we can be doing something to mitigate coastal flooding. Also, I think really importantly is the use of trees in river catchment areas to slow down the water flow into rivers, to reduce flooding. It's so hugely important opportunities there to put something in which can both capture carbon, but also give us flood resilience. Of course, shade around rivers is very good because it helps keep the water temperature down. So it's better for the fish and the wildlife in the rivers.
How much have we lost, though, in this country? And how much do we need to regenerate? Have you quantified that?
The Climate Change Committee looks at the contribution of nature-based solutions to getting us to net zero. They have in their analysis typically focused on woodland and forest rather than wetlands, because historically we haven't had such good data for the carbon sequestration potential of wetlands.
The UK, as you mentioned, it's really good at setting these big environmental targets, but not so great at following through, and very good at missing them. And we've seen recently Zach Goldsmith, the International Environment Minister, he's resigned, saying that the government's apathetic in the face of climate change. I mean, do you have some sympathy with that sentiment? And how do we break this cycle of big announcements and then not a lot following behind?
Well, actually, on the adaptation side, we'd like some big announcements.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But announcements, as you say, are absolutely no good. And indeed, the Climate Change Committee's report that came out recently monitoring how we're progressing against our mitigation targets is saying, you know, we've had all these big announcements, but we haven't had the implementation. We don't yet have the metrics to tell whether the actions that we are taking are actually making us more resilient. Now, water is probably a significantly stronger position because many of the issues in water we can actually measure, but where we have the data, we are not seeing the progress despite the commitments. We had a record dry spring and summer last year. We've just had the hottest June on record in the UK. We know that people already have hosepipe bans in Devon because their reservoirs are only 70% full. So the prediction is they haven't got enough water to get them through the summer. You know, the warning signals are all there. So we are desperate for real implementation of some robust plans.
Thank you so much for joining us, Baroness Brown. It's been really great to meet you and to hear what you've got to say. Let's hope we get some action in the very, very near future.
Thank you very much.